It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this very cold January weekend? It is January 21st, 2022. Don Tony Show is live 1 week from today, the Royal Rumble. Probably my second favorite pay-per-view of each year, WrestleMania being number one, Royal Rumble number two. The funny thing is a lot of people complaining about participants being announced. If you look on the women's side, there's been so few names added. And even on the men's side, I would say maybe only half have been revealed. And simply because Sheamus and Drew McIntyre were announced in advance, people were like, come on, stop giving us the names, give us surprises. I tell you, it is directly related to the last 3 years of AEW with the crackerjack surprises, the lights going out way too much. There's always a swerve. There's always a surprise. You know, we don't know what numbers people are coming out at. You got 30 surprises right now. You know, who comes out at number one is a big deal. Who comes out at number 30 is a big deal. So you got 30 surprises because you don't know who's coming out next. So just sit back, enjoy it, have a blast, stop complaining about every little thing. So I hope everybody's having a wonderful weekend. I am a little bit under the weather, but, you know, not enough where it's going to stop me from trying to give you the best show I possibly can. We're going to keep it pretty simple for today. Nick Khan, Tony Khan, we're on the radio. Tony Khan last week, Nick Khan the week before. They just held it in a bag for about 10 days before they released it. And some very fascinating comments coming out on both sides. And Tony Khan is going to be more about comedy than anything else. Nick Khan is going to be a little bit more interesting. Now, I have tons of audio clips to share with everyone. And we will take a little bit of a dive into these clips. And I will give you my honest thoughts on it. But before we do that, I definitely want to just get this one out of the way. Now, because we had this conversation in the middle of December, we don't have to get into the whole thing again. There's no reason to. But a lot of other places kind of, you know, ignored it. But do you remember when we talked about the Adult Survivors Act and the Sexual Abuse Cover-Up Accountability Act? Those were the two acts that were put in force by New York and California, giving individuals, not just women, but giving individuals the one-year window to sue anybody they accused of any type of abuse in the past. And this opened the door of, my smoke alarm is going off, and she's not going to know how to shut this off. You got to hold the button down. What are you doing? Fix, take the alarm off. She's got it. Meanwhile, I still hear it. Our house is burning down right now. The roof! The roof! The roof is on fire! What are you doing? Hello? All right. All right. Stopped. Or maybe it just melted. And I'm about to die in a fire. You know, that's no joke, man. I know people who passed away. Every time I think about wrestling and fires, I think about Coco Beware's bird, how tragic that was, man. It broke my heart when I heard that because, you know, my African Grey is still around. He's been around since, like, 1994. So when I heard that tragedy with Coco, it really, really hit me. But, all right, let's talk briefly about Rita Marie. When we talked about this back in the middle of December, we said, you know, 2023 is going to be an agita-filled year for Vince McMahon if he does not reach settlements with at least Rita Marie. We heard about the rumors of that woman in California from a spa who alleged a few things as well. But as that has started to come out, you know, it may not have been anywhere near as severe as before. Okay. All right. She said everything's okay. She was just making bacon. Bacon! Sorry about the interruption. So this opened the door for Rita Marie to go after Vince McMahon. Remember that window closed a while back. This stems from 1986. She has alleged since then that Vince McMahon sexually assaulted her. Vince has denied it all along. And, you know, as we've talked about before, and again, we're not going to get into all the details, but the Wall Street Journal, you know, releasing a lot of dirt on Vince McMahon. And, you know, some of the individuals leaking information to the Wall Street Journal are attorneys of people going after Vince McMahon. That's obviously common sense. But a few people who are on the board of directors that absolutely despise Vince McMahon. You know, the funny thing is when you hear some of the Nick Khan comments, you know, you're going to think about something that I pointed out to all of you 2 weeks ago. Remember when Vince McMahon was commenting about Stephanie, you know, stepping down and this time, you know, officially not just taking a leave of absence? Remember that little remark that he made in his press release that, you know, basically she was just keeping the seat warm until he returned? If you remember that episode we did, I said they knew. They knew. See, Nick Khan, and we're not going to play every little detail of the appearance on Bill Simmons. First of all, I'd get in trouble if I did that. But number two, you know, we broke it up into specific categories. And man, did Nick Khan piss off a lot of people about his remarks with Tony Khan. Flashbacks to Dixie Carter. Oh my God, wait till you hear it. But when it comes to, you know, the board of directors, you know, one clip that I don't think I have, I didn't think it was really interesting enough, but Nick Khan mentions in his interview with Bill Simmons that he and a few executives made it their business to visit Vince McMahon at least once a month. Those individuals who resigned, those two, remember the one that worked for Sony 6? That guy despised Vince McMahon. That guy did not keep tabs with Vince McMahon. That guy in his heart truly felt Vince was never going to come back. And when Vince announces return, he's like, fuck this, I'm out of here. You know, it's believed that he is one of the individuals who leaked a lot of stuff to the Wall Street Journal as well. But if you remember, once Vince announces return, what was the first thing that we talked about? It's going to be really interesting what transpires with Rita Marie, and would not be surprised if he settles with her. And guess what? This was our thumbnail for the middle of December. This is our thumbnail for January 21st, 2023. The case has been settled. We don't know the exact amount. It is in the millions, obviously. She originally was demanding more than $10 million. My interpretation was at the time she made the demand, she wanted pretty much what everybody else wanted combined. But look, now since this is settled, Rita Marie is not going to be talking about this anymore. And yes, you know, it will never know truly what happened back in 86. We can only give you what we believe to have happened. You know, some people have, you know, closer to firsthand accounts. Some people were working there at the time, but nobody witnessed anything. You know, now since this is resolved, Twix, please don't do that, because then I'm just going to put you on mute from now on. I know you're a loyal patron and everything, but Sean Rossap did not say $11 million. All right. Maybe the original demand was $10.75 million, if you want me to make an accurate, specific number. All right, the bottom line is they settled. We don't know how much she settled for. No one knows the amount that it was settled. No one knows how much it was settled for. But here's the thing. Now, since this is resolved, My honest opinion about this is, did Vince McMahon sexually assault her? I don't know. My gut feeling is that Vince McMahon manipulated a very naive woman, sold her a bag of goods, told that she'd be on the cover of Time Life, told that she was going to make 500 grand where referees weren't even making, you know, 15, 20% of that, and women referees were non-existent. You know, he put her on that TNT talk show that one time. That's actually where I got the little, you know, graphic of her for the thumbnails. You know, you go back at that time, you know, she was intriguing. And I'm not going to disparage her at all, other than she was naive. But guess what? Being naive doesn't give someone the right to abuse someone, whether it's emotionally, sexually, manipulating. You know, it's fucked up. It is fucked up. And but remember what I have always said. You know, I appreciate Vince for what he has given me for entertainment for decades and decades and decades. But, you know, understand something. You know, there was never that woman that was going to be the one with Me Too or anything else that they were going to say, you know what, I'm going to the cops, I'm going to the police, I'm going to law enforcement. Nobody did. Even some of the other allegations, they all ran to lawyers. They all ran for money. And again, still, that does not mean that someone in that world, you know, deserves to be abused. No one does. But, you know, this is not in all of these cases where someone, you know, was just picked out of, you know, a random group of people and was just, it's a messed up situation. It is a world that we will never fully understand. You will never fully understand. Even when Nick Khan makes some of the remarks that he does, you know, right away, people got it wrong. Again. They only heard little clips of what Nick Khan said with Bill Simmons, and they took one segment and they interpreted it that Bill Simmons was defending Vince McMahon's previous actions. What was the remark that everybody said, you know, we should, well, I'll let you hear it for yourself. You be the judge. But that's what happens when people cherry pick little clips here and there. If you don't listen to the entire conversation, it could sound a completely different way. So the bottom line is that Vince McMahon settled with Rita Marie. The story is now closed. I believe back in 86 that he was absolutely attracted to her, and I think lied to her and told her a bunch of promises to try to, you know, get in her pants. And I think, you know, was it forcible? We'll never know. We'll never know. I just can't envision Vince McMahon forcibly sexually assaulting someone. I can't. And no one has ever convicted him of something like that. He is a pig. I would not want him as my father. I would not want him as my uncle. I would not want him as my husband. I would not want him as my significant other. But for some reason, women are still, you know, going to him. You know, you hear about things now. It's going to be really interesting to see Linda McMahon's name with all of this in 2023. Keep that in the back of your mind because no one else is talking about it. Now, one thing I want to tell you in closing with this. And I'm still changing the background. In the far right corner is the Muppets. And I don't know why I even put the Muppets on there originally, but it's obviously a very small area. So I haven't decided what I'm going to put there yet. I actually have some thoughts. And some of these things in the background, they will be changed every couple of shows. So we will be rotating. And look, once the bloodline turns on Sami Zayn, obviously that picture behind me is going to have to go too. One thing I wanted to tell you in closing with this, something that you have not read online, something that you won't hear too much right now, but you eventually will. Vince McMahon settled with Rita Marie before January 6th. Vince McMahon got all his shit in order before he came back. Now, this is very important. very important. Do you know how a lot of people are throwing in Nick Khan's face that he voted against Vince's return before he voted in favor of Vince's return? How many people have you heard bring that up the last week? That back in December, they all voted against Vince's return, but in January, they unanimously voted him back. Do you know what one of the major factors was? Vince, you still got legal shit hovering over your head. We're not bringing you back in this company and negotiating media rights, M&As, possible sale, if you could have impending lawsuits hovering over your head. Now, sure, there could be somebody out there that Vince has not thought about in decades, neither have we, that might live in New York or California, or maybe that's where it happened, you know, and then they could come out of the woodworks and do something in June. We don't know. But once Vince squared away the remaining legal issues, and look, they are trusting Vince to not be lying to them. And I know what you're going to say, oh, Vince is a liar and this and that. Yeah, that's good for a podcaster to get views. But in the billion-dollar corporate publicly traded world, there is a level of honesty that has to be put forth between the CEO, board of directors. It's just a fact. People don't like it, but it's a fact. They voted unanimously back in December because Vince was not completely resolved with these issues. And I personally feel that Vince settled with Rita Marie because he wanted back so much and so quickly that, all right, look, offer $8 million. Offer $8 million. And once he came back, he made $800 million. Am I wrong? So understand. And look, I'm not criticizing any podcasters because some of them are Hall of Famers that are making these claims. But I'm not criticizing any of them. My fucking cell phone's going off now. Anyway, I'm not criticizing any of these podcasters, especially Hall of Famers, that are bringing up, oh, you know, Nick Khan voted against him before he voted for him. Because I know that sounds like John Kerry. Remember when he was running for president? Oh, I voted for it before I voted against it. That's what the line is. But, you know, they don't pay attention to the corporate side of things. Nobody wants to hear them pay attention to the corporate side of things. They want them to talk about wrestling, their views, their knowledge, nostalgia, stories, opinions, you know. So they don't understand that these things had to be taken care of before they welcomed Vince back. That is the facts. You will not hear it or read it anywhere else until people decide they want to spend some additional time to figure that out. And who knows, maybe some people are intentionally ignoring, you know, the truth, because you know that's for a fact as well. People ignore the truth because it allows them to keep a narrative. Hey, great example, Saudi Arabia. I think a lot of people out there knew it was bullshit. I think a lot of people realized, hey, how come nobody in the financial world is talking about it? Hey, how do you hire JP Morgan Chase and then 48 hours later, we got a deal, boss. We got a deal. You know, it's like unheard of. But they ran with it anyway, and they played dumb so they can clickbait and attract people to tune into their shows. And I think we were really the only podcaster with decent number of views and downloads. I mean, yeah, about 90% of my audience is still audio only. But, you know, I'm consistently in the top 50 of all the shows out there. And I think we were the only show from day one. Bullshit on Saudi Arabia, bullshit on Mercedes Moné and AEW, bullshit on a lot of things. And now, you know, Nick Khan is on a Bill Simmons podcast. And what is the go-to line that people do? They did it to Vince when he talked to Pat McAfee. They did it to Nick Khan talking to Bill Simmons. Their only go-to is they're lying. They're lying. They're lying. Based on what? Based on what? That's the only comeback they can make. So let's have some fun with audio. Now I'm going to mix it up. We're going to do Tony Khan first. Let's do Tony Khan first. Let's share his unedited comments. Oh, this cute little couple, Maggie and Perloff. they actually got a good podcast. I'm just joking around. But when they played their 27 seconds, everyone. When they put their 27-second clip online about Tony Khan interested in buying WWE, I think a lot of people just didn't notice that that clip was edited. Oh, I got the whole clip for you, and it is fucking hilarious. In fact, the video side of it, if you look at the Maggie, she looks like she's about to laugh. I'm not kidding. She looks like she's about to laugh. So we're going to share the Tony Khan audio first. Then we will share what Nick Khan had to say about Tony Khan. That's hilarious in itself as well. Then we'll talk about what Nick Khan said about Vince and Saudi Arabia and Stephanie McMahon and the sale. And then we'll get into some tidbits. Now, I do want to do something beforehand. And I definitely need to bring this out there. We got some beautiful, positive news with regards to Jay Briscoe's daughters. Beautiful news. WBOC in Delaware is the one that is basically leading all these stories. You know, no disrespect to wrestling news sites out there, but when they're claiming they got these exclusive reports, in many cases, not even crediting the local news stations, that they're the ones that are actually putting it out. You know, the mother of Jay Briscoe, Jana Pugh, she talked to WBOC. She didn't talk to a wrestling news website. And that is a beautiful picture of Jay Briscoe with the Ring of Honor championship title. That is very, very beautiful. She actually gave some positive news that Gracie, one of his daughters, is doing better. She was originally declared paralyzed from the waist down, but she had a lot of swelling. And right at the impact of the accident, she now has feeling in her knees. And they believe as the swelling goes down that she will regain full mobility and she will be able to walk once again. So that is beautiful to hear. And just looking at the notes, Jaylay has had numerous surgeries, and she had a surgery, I believe, yesterday for internal bleeding, and she had to be operated on a leg. She has to be in a brace for about 6 weeks. But, you know, another thing also is, you know, especially with Gracie, you know, they now have been able to, I think, remove a feeding tube that she could eat on her own now. Now, the reports that she's off IVs is wrong. I'm just telling you that right now. Anybody in that kind of condition, especially with blood clots and everything else, they are constantly sending fluids in. They got IVs. So, you know, it's semantics. But again, this is what happens when the bullshit news sites out there, they cut and paste from another site that kind of condensed everything, or maybe, you know, miswrote a sentence or reversed something. You know, hey, even some sites got the vehicles wrong and it bled into YouTube. You know, when people like, oh, she was driving this car. No, she was driving actually the other car. And then you had the awful early report that some people ran with that Jay Briscoe's wife passed away in the vehicle as well, which was untrue. Absolutely untrue. Not only that, a lot of local stores are raising money. They are one place, A&K Enterprises, which I believe they have a bait and tackle shop. They are selling t-shirts. They're selling little, you know, trinkets. We did learn that Jay Briscoe was taking his daughter to cheerleading, and that's what happened with regards to the accident. Now, I appreciate, you know, all the kind words, you know, as far as what I have discussed already. I'm just a messenger. I'm just trying to get the answers, and I'm trying to give you the accurate answers. I will say this, with regards to this super chat that came in from Sticky Fingers Frank, thank you for the five spot, my friend. Any updates on the Jay Briscoe accident itself? No. I will tell you that I did get a few interesting emails from people in the news world, not wrestling, but mainstream news world, that, you know, asked me for, you know, some specific information. Because, you know, I did explain on the show as far as, you know, having some access to additional info. And, you know, for the most part, I think they wanted to know how they can obtain this, or how could they request this, or, you know, where did I get this from? You know, I mean, as far as the images that I showed, a lot of them are Google Maps. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, if you check the history of Route 24, you could find a bunch of information online. It's just knowing where to look. But there's no additional information on the accident itself. We don't know if this person was under the influence. We don't know if she was texting or not paying attention on the cell phone. But, you know, as I said the other day, I think Twilight is going to be a big contributing factor to this. You know, understand, cell phone could be part of it. Drinking could be part of it. But driving in twilight is the most dangerous time to drive, period. Especially when you realize that right after that accident, there was not a sharp turn, but if you keep going straight, you know, you go right into the other lane. And, you know, they don't understand why she crossed the lane. You know, there's no reports of anybody, you know, trying to, you know, pass someone up or cutting them off the road. She swerved out of the way to avoid a deer. You know, it could end up being something like that. Believe it or not, it could end up being something like that. There could have been some type of animal, and she swerved out of the way to avoid hitting it, and this happened. You know, we'll never know. I don't think we'll ever know with that. I think the other factors as far as cell phone and alcohol, I think those are the only two factors, or drugs. I think those are the only factors that we would be able to get an answer about, because if there's a phone on the scene, they could forensically test it and see if she was using it at the time of the collision. Remember, they believe the accident happened exactly 5:09 p.m. and twilight, you know, is right around that time, because sunset is 5:09 p.m., exact same time. So right now, there is no update yet. I believe the local news outlets in Delaware will get the story. We'll find out. I mean, they will learn, you know, what came out of toxicology, what came out of the police investigation. And believe me, the family wants to know. You know, we all want to know. I mean, we're not obligated to get that information, but I believe that, you know, some of that will come out. Local friends of the family as well have set up a donation page. I don't have the link in front of me, but I will definitely share it on the next couple of shows. They were looking for a goal of 200 grand, and they surpassed that almost immediately. They already surpassed it. I did get a couple of props for what I said, that, you know, it would be awesome if there was a benefit show. You know, similar what they did with Mark Curtis, similar what they did for Brian Pillman back in the day. I think, you know, there's no reason why you can't have a couple of wrestlers from each company, even if wrestlers wrestle within, you know, their same opponents. You know, you don't have to have an AEW star facing a WWE star. But there's enough wrestlers who came out of Ring of Honor, who, even if they didn't come out of Ring of Honor, who are just, you know, touched by this and affected by it, that may would want to. I personally think if WWE or AEW told their roster, hey, listen, there's going to be a benefit show, and we can send, you know, six wrestlers, you know, who wants to go? I think tons of people will raise their hand. I think tons of people will. Yeah, I see what you're saying, Rams fan. I'm not mentioning any individual wrestlers and what they donated, but the generosity of the wrestlers has been tremendous. And some of the names, you know, that are the biggest donators are the ones that you always see trying to help someone. And God bless them to, you know, be able to have those means to do it. So, you know, we'll definitely share the links. Something else I wanted to say quickly, then we'll get into the Con, Vince, you know, stuff, and then we'll get into a couple of things from SmackDown yesterday, Rampage, Little Bella's controversy. little controversy with the Bellas and the 30th anniversary of Raw. Is it a controversy? I don't know. You'll be the judge. We'll get into that in a little bit. All right. One last thing. I know what's being, and this I have to be really careful I say this, because I just want to celebrate the life of Jay Briscoe, his career. It's awesome to see so many of you out there who never watched Ring of Honor, who never watched their work before, never found it interesting, are now giving it a second chance, and are fans. That is awesome. That is one of the coolest things to come out of this, that the Briscoes, in Jay's tragic passing, have gained a lot of new fans that are just seeing their stuff for the first time. And that's awesome. And I don't want to throw shade in any other way, but I will say this. I'll say it indirectly, but you'll know where I'm going with this. I see a lot of people on social media saying, fuck you, Warner Media, for not allowing a Jay Briscoe tribute, and this, this, and that. Okay. A couple of things that I'm going to share with you. And this is just the raw truth. A lot of people wouldn't dare say it. First of all, with all due respect, Jay Briscoe was never on AEW television. So if you really, really think about it, doing a 10 bell on AEW Dynamite, yes, Tony Khan owns it, but doing a 10 bell, I don't think that would have been automatic, please hear me out, wouldn't be automatic, because he was never a wrestler on their product. Yes, they should have been wrestlers on AEW. We've been talking about it. Hell, do you remember one of my predictions for 2023? You will see the Briscoes in AEW. I didn't expect this, but you know what I mean. They absolutely should have been AEW. Redemption. Redemption. That guy has redeemed himself. So the assholes in Warner Media that was still butthurt over this, you know, that's a big deal. You know, and I don't blame people for being mad at Warner Media, but let's also get into a couple other things. People online are treating Warner Media like it's a human being. Do you realize how many people are behind Warner Media? Here's the deal. And I'm sure a lot of you have figured this out already. Tony Khan absolutely, absolutely wants to pay tribute to Jay Briscoe. The thing is, though, is that the easier way to get out of this is to just say, fuck you, Warner Media, for not wanting to do a tribute, not wanting to do this, not wanting to do that. But nobody names names. Nobody names names. So, do you ever think that maybe Tony Khan, you know, was so strangled with this? You can't force Tony Khan to say, and I think I mentioned this on Wednesday, you can't force Tony Khan to say, fuck Warner, I'm going to mention his name, this and that. I don't, did anybody notice if they mentioned his name on Rampage yesterday? I'm not sure about that. I wasn't paying close attention because I was preparing for today's show. But my point is that, you know, do you see how quick it came out that Warner Media banned a Jay Briscoe tribute? Those are the EVPs feeding it to the usual suspects to get it out there as quickly as possible, because we don't want anybody to turn around and accuse Tony Khan for, why didn't you ring the 12s? Why didn't you ring this? Because the only person you can blame is Warner Media. But understand, you know, people have questioned the Briscoes not being on AEW for well over, well, close to a year. Even before Ring of Honor was sold to Tony Khan, you know, people wanted to see the Briscoes in AEW. And the word was all the time is that Warner Media wouldn't allow it. Why didn't all of these people in the wrestling business, especially those who might be LGBTQ, why didn't they all step up a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, and be a little bit more vocal? Like, listen, I don't know why, you know, Warner Media won't allow him on the show. You know, Jay Briscoe is, you know, is not the person. Like, there was a lot of buzz amongst fans, but people within the wrestling industry were lot more quiet than they probably should have been. But understand this. I saw some moron, and I'm not even going to share the tweet, but some moron actually said that WarnerMedia is partially responsible for what happened. And that is just ridiculously stupid. Them being on AEW the last 2 weeks or 2 years would not have prevented this accident. Could have happened anywhere at any time. But the thing is that it's very easy to say, fuck you, WarnerMedia. Fuck you, WarnerMedia. Fuck you, WarnerMedia. We're going to protest this and that. You know, how's about getting names? How's about getting names? How's about, you know, some of these people in the media trying to get the names? They know the names. You think that there's like 1,000 corporate people in WarnerMedia that they can't figure? They know who it is. They won't make it public because getting Tony Khan in trouble is more concerning for them than letting everybody know who in WarnerMedia is responsible for being so shallow and unforgiving and thick-headed that even in the motherfucking guy's death can't even tribute. To me, that is someone you want out of WarnerMedia, but instead they hide the name. They hide the name. A lot of these journalists, they know who it is. I don't know who it is. If I figure out who it is, I'll tattoo it to my forehead like Al Snow's head. But just take notice that, you know, you say, fuck you, WarnerMedia. It's like, fuck you, government. Fuck you, White House. Fuck you, FBI. It's not a human being. Who do you think that you're triggering at WarnerMedia by saying, fuck you, WarnerMedia? You know, people got to start demanding names. Demand names. And somebody in the news world that knows the name should have a set of balls and just be an emotional person for a difference and say, listen, you know, I'm sorry if, you know, if this, but no, it bothers me too much that, you know, Jane Smith or Mark Smith, you know, is the one who made the call that I think that's a big deal. But that's just my selfishness talking. All right, let's move on. We got to move on because we're going to start running a little bit too late, and I definitely want to keep this shorter. We got a busy week coming up tomorrow. If you are interested, 8:05 p.m., we have the sit-down. And believe me, I'm sure there's going to be some topics you're going to want to talk about that has happened. And then next week is the Royal Rumble. Some of you asked if I'm going to do a show earlier in the day. I probably will. I'll probably do predictions. I might even do one live next Friday night. Maybe next Friday night we do a special episode live and we do some Royal Rumble predictions. That's always fun. So I'll let you know during the week. Now, before we get to the audio with Tony Khan, Nick Khan, and others, this Monday we have the 30th anniversary of Raw. Yesterday on SmackDown, they played an awesome tribute to the first 30 years of Raw. The video was probably, 3-4 minutes long? I found it very interesting that nobody posted, you know, hey, Sasha Banks was shown. Yes, she was. Jericho's, you know, my favorite Raw moment in the history of Raw. My favorite moment of all time on Raw is when Jericho made his debut. Still is. Think it always will be. But, you know, they showed Sasha. They showed, you know, but and a lot of people, nobody really made mention of it. So, I loved the video yesterday, but there's a little controversy. You know, we were having some fun early in the week. We said, oh, yeah, the WWE legends and the Bellas. You know, apparently we weren't the only one. A lot of people are like, wait, the Bellas are considered legends? Well, you know what? For the amount of time they've been in WWE, I guess you can call them a legend. Why not? But this was the original advertisement from Raw this week. All right, now they've added some names, but as you will see, they've also removed some people as well. Gee, where did the Bellas go? They disappeared. Let's look again. Bellas, I got Bellas to the right of me. I got no Bellas. So why did they do that? I have no idea. But the Bellas are no longer shown on the billboard for Raw 30th anniversary. I think they'll still be there. I think they will. You know, it's going to be interesting if The Rock appears. We had this conversation a couple of days ago. You know, they're going to do a celebration of the Bloodline. And now after what we saw with Sami Zayn on SmackDown, there's going to be some, listen, there's going to be some celebrating. I could see this already. And I'm probably wrong, but remember this, and we'll have fun with it Monday if it ends up being right. The best way I could describe it is pretend you're at a dinner table and you're with like 8 members of your family, or you're at the dinner table and you're double dating or triple dating. It's you and your significant other, your friend and their significant other, and your other friend and their significant other. And you're at a dinner table and, you know, it's home style where your meal is served. No, you have like plates in the middle of the table. Hey, could you pass me the gravy? Could you pass me the meatloaf? Could you pass me the gray poupon? Can you please pass the jelly? Props to anybody that remembers that. You're as old as I am. But so you pass things around. Now, pretend that one person at that dinner table you had a fight with. Your significant other is not talking to you. So your significant other picks up the meatloaf and says, Joey, you want some meatloaf? Oh, yeah, I'll take some. Hey, Jane, you want some meatloaf? And she's passing it around to everyone. And meanwhile, as the food goes by, you're like, and you're intentionally being ignored. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. That happened probably about 5 years ago. I went to a dinner. It was, I don't remember if it was Christmas or New Year's Eve. I think it was Christmas Eve. No, it was New Year's Eve. And I had a little argument with my now wife. And, you know, she was like, you know, does anybody want any Pellegrino water? And she's passing around and I'm like going like this. And she's intentionally ignoring me. And everybody's drinking Pellegrino water. I'm like, just give me a little, you know. That's what they're going to do to Sami Zayn on Monday. That's what I think is going to happen. You're going to see each individual celebrated. Solo Sikoa will be celebrated. The Usos will be celebrated. Roman Reigns will be celebrated. Maybe even Paul Heyman will be celebrated. And Sammy's going to look around and be like, I'm telling you, I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's what's going to happen. Oh, yeah, somebody's saying, did I just spit? I actually do have a little talent. I don't know if you could see it this way. I used to be able to, like, do something with, don't ask me why, I used to be able to do this. I don't know if you could see it, but meanwhile, my speaker is like, what the fuck you doing? You're giving me a shower. So, this was the story of SmackDown. This was the story. Hey, fist bump, please. Fist bump. We'll talk about SmackDown a little bit. We got a tag tournament. Very, very active. That was the main part of SmackDown. But let's talk a little Tony Khan first. Tony Khan appeared on the Maggie and Perloff show. And they were talking AEW. They were also talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars and give the Jaguars a hell of a lot of credit. Comeback team. And let me tell you something. Tony Khan, I know we've called him a petulant child in the past, but that guy is very, very smart, and he's like Rain Man at times. When that guy, you know, is comfortable and he's in his zone, that motherfucker will throw out facts and just talk smooth. And you're like, hey, I'm kind of impressed at the guy. And then when you talk about topics, because he is not a creative writer, and that motherfucker doesn't know how to answer MJF for six months, how he dodged things. CM Punk dodged things. Storyline, dodged things. Controversy, dodged things, because he is so dependent on the EVPs. He is so dependent on the Michael Nakazawas and the QT Marshalls and everybody who works behind the scenes. He is so dependent on them that he doesn't know how to react to this stuff. And I'm going to play you four clips, actually five, but they are very fast. And three of them have nothing to do with AEW. But I want you to hear the difference between Tony Khan talking about the Jaguars, Tony Khan talking about stats, and you listen to him channeling his inner Dixie Carter when he talks about AEW. It is fucking hilarious. You know, if you remember Ariel Helwani, the interview that he did with Ariel Helwani, that Ariel literally just wanted to take his head and smash it through a piece of sheetrock. Honestly, if Maggie and Perloff next Tuesday or Monday, if they have bumps on their head, I guarantee you they fucking, or they just laugh their ass off. I want to give you an example, all right? Tony Khan was asked about Stephanie. I'm going to give you my honest opinion. I truly believe Tony Khan is petrified at the corporate world. He is petrified at World Wrestling Entertainment. That motherfucker is petrified. You know, when he's around wrestlers and he says, yeah, I told Stephanie and Nick to shut up. Remember what we said? They probably laughed at him. Like, who's this fucking goof saying that? You know, like, but when he's in a professional environment where what he said, not to use a criminal term, but what you say can and will be used against you. He melts. He melts like butter. Seriously, Tony Khan should come out with like some liquid butter. He just melts. I'm going to give you some beautiful examples right now. Listen to how awesome Tony Khan speaks about the Jaguars' comeback.
What were you thinking in the first...
Wait. There we go.
What were you thinking in the first half of that Jags game, and then what were you thinking in the second half?
You know, I didn't stop believing at any point. The team keeps coming back, and I know you're both really big football fans, and you've seen it firsthand. Whether it was the prior week against the Titans or against the Cowboys, the Ravens, time after time, the Jags have come back. And it's five straight big comeback wins at home. We've had comebacks of 17 points, 10 points, 17, 9, and now 27 in our last five home games, and we've won them all. So it's pretty incredible, and I never stopped believing in this team, and they never stopped believing in each other, and they never stop believing Doug Peterson, who's such a great coach and has really changed this organization in so many ways for the positive.
Okay, there you go. By the way, I don't want to just do this in the chat room. I want to give a little apology to somebody I kind of like singled out earlier. That is Twix. We were talking about the $11 million with Rita Marie. He was talking about the original demand. Wasn't talking about the settlement. I know Sean Ross Sapp did not report any settlement amount of money. But as we were doing the show, I was thinking in the back of my mind, I think he was talking about the original demand by Rita Marie, even though you're kind of wrong because it wasn't straight up $11 million. But I get what you were saying. But you hear that with the Jaguars? Fine. I have no issue with what he said. He was smooth, happy. He's throwing numbers out. The five comeback victories, 7 points, 10 points, 7 points, 5 points, 27 points, I mean, whatever it was. I'm like, all right. No issues at all. All right. Now, same show. Now here's Tony Khan talking about stats.
Like, we had an analytics group. I worked with great people, Zach Beislein, and a number of people on statistical research. And I also own a company, True Media, that is the top.
Take note how this guy don't pause and stutter and have awkward things. Just listen to what he says. He actually sounds brilliant.
Sports engineering firm in the world, 25 out of the 30 Major League Baseball clubs work with us, and we work with most of the major media providers and the NFL on the next-gen stats. And Doug, when he was in Philadelphia, had a great group, and he brought Ryan Pagnetti, who's a top statistical analyst, with him, and we all work together now. And, I mean, Doug's a leader, and Doug is the person who makes these calls. And, you know, he is somebody who really does believe in it. And so it does make me very happy, but it's also just great to work with him. And that's one of the reasons why I was so excited to have a chance to work with Doug Peterson, because when you watch Doug in Philadelphia, he was making those aggressive moves, and that's what he does in Jacksonville, and it's been great for us. And, you know, as we built up the roster in the past couple of years, I think the talent has really gotten better at the Jaguars over the last few years, and really Doug coming in, it was at the perfect time.
Again, no issues at all. You know, you start to see the difference that he is not the quarterback. He is not the coach. He is not on the field. He is not a player. He is behind the scenes making those decisions, and he can't try to be the be-all, end-all like he is in AEW. Plus, you know, the way the NFL handles things, you know, let me put it this way. It's like you look at any of us at podcast. All right, we come up here, we act stupid, we act goofy, we yell, we scream, we laugh, we do dumb things sometimes. And you might meet us outside or in our real, you know, like employment world, or and you'll probably say, wow, you are nothing like you are on the shows. I think when Tony Khan, when he's doing the NFL, when he's doing the other leagues and everything else, you know, he's got to be straight up on the arrow. When it comes to AEW, that's like his playground. That's like a adult coloring books. That's like adult bouncy balls. That's like him just running in the yard, tearing his shirt off, and just running through like a stream of water. It's where he can just be a total kid. And again, let me continue. Listen to now what he says about the NFL stats. This is great. Listen to him closely. Give him credit.
Tony, over that decade that you've been looking at football analytics, has there been a lot of growth for the entire league? I know Doug Peterson, obviously aggressive on fourth down. It feels like everyone is there. Where is it stand now compared to where it was a decade ago?
Oh, it's so much more aggressive across the league. It's absolutely the case. You're totally right. And teams are utilizing analytics much more than they were when I first came in the league in 2012. There are a lot more teams that have a statistical analyst in the booth during the game to talk about fourth down situations, clock management, or two-point conversion situations.
Okay. Hands-on, says precisely the answers, doesn't beat around the bush. Now, we get to the WWE sale. Now, I'm going to share with you the cute 27-second clip that this show put out there that everybody ran with. You take Tony Khan's 27 seconds, and it sounds pretty normal. Here you go.
I am interested in the news that there's potentially a sale process, and certainly I think we've shown that when there's acquisitions, transactions, we are capable of making the big purchases.
The video?
It's very preliminary to talk about that process, but if there is a process there, which it sounds like there may be, then I'm interested in being a part of it, sir.
That was the clip that they put out there. Very, very cute little transition. I'm going to share with you the full clip now. When I said on the early preview of this show that Nick Khan and Tony Khan both channeled their inner Dixie Carter this week, this answer is something Dixie Carter would have given a long time ago. The same question. Now I want you to watch unedited and just listen to this hot mess. In addition, listen to pretty much how he talks about how daddy supplies the money. It's pretty fascinating. And here's the best part. When you listen to it, you tell me honestly, is Tony Khan interested in buying WWE, or is he interested in seeing what transpires? What you do come back with after this is that if anybody was going to consider buying WWE, it would be Shad Khan, not Tony Khan. The name says Khan, but it's not Tony Khan. It is me, Shad Khan. Here is the unedited clip. Boy, does it sound much different. There you go.
The talk of the wrestling world beyond AEW, though, is the fact that WWE...
Now, I'm going to zoom it in a little bit, too, so you could see her reaction as he starts talking about daddy.
Is for sale. Is there a world where Tony Khan and AEW buys WWE?
I am interested in the news that there's potentially a sale process, and certainly I think we've shown that when there's acquisitions, transactions, we are capable of making the big purchases, whether my dad stepped up with the Jaguars or Fulham FC in the Premier League, and he's done such a great job building up the club and putting resources into it, and now we're playing football at a very high level in the Premier League. And I think with AEW, we've shown we can build a company. And even when I purchased Ring of Honor.
Wait till you hear what he says about Ring of Honor. Notice how this was edited out.
Frankly, if you're a Ring of Honor fan, now that's a very different thing than WWE, but Ring of Honor is a company with 20 years of history. And I really have enjoyed running it. And I think we've shown that we're at all-time highs in terms of every business metric since we relaunched it. And it's only going to get better. And, you know, AEW is my main focus. But certainly when that news is out there, I think it's very interesting. So, you know, stay tuned to AEW Dynamite. Stay tuned to AEW Rampage. You never know when I may address something. But on the other hand, I think, you know, it's very preliminary to talk about that process. But if there is a process there, which it sounds like there may be, then I'm interested in being a part of it, certainly.
He didn't say nothing. Hey, when it comes to buying things, look, my dad bought this, my dad bought that. Ring of Honor's got the biggest mentors. I relaunched it. That's relaunching? Oh, man. That is the unedited answer. Does that sound like they're interested in buying WWE? Or are they more interested in the news? Just listen to the first few seconds again.
The talk of the wrestling world.
Just listen to the first sentence of what he says.
WWE is for sale. Is there a world where Tony Khan and AEW buys WWE?
I am interested in the news that there's potentially a sale process. And
oh, shut the fuck up. It's a yes or no answer. Yeah, we're interested. You know, we're not going to dump all of our worth and take away from, you know, the Jaguars in the Premier League and AEW and Ring of Honor. But, you know, if the stars aligned and we were able to get it at a good price, yeah, I'd be interested in buying it. No, it's, you know, now, Stephanie McMahon. We all know Stephanie stepped down. Now, he was asked about Stephanie. All he really technically had to say is, look, you know, she's a great executive, a great woman, you know, whatever her reasons were, you know, wish her the best in the future. Listen to this. This is great.
What did you think of Stephanie stepping away, kind of for the second time, but this one looks a little bit more permanent?
I can't speak to it. I haven't talked to her in a long time, and I can't speak to what's happening there, but certainly very focused on AEW, and it's a big night for us tomorrow night. You know, we're coming off such a great show at the LA Forum last week, and I'm looking forward to announcing more about when we make our return to New York, but certainly the wrestling fans have come to expect great things every Wednesday night on TBS from us. And tomorrow, I know we'll have a lot of great things in store for them.
Do you know she asked about CM Punk too, right? I can't talk about that. But, you know, we're going to have a great Rampage. He, when he's forced to stay in his zone as far as NFL, and Fulham and everything else, he's fine. When this here, he doesn't have a fucking clue. He doesn't have a clue. So I wanted you to hear, and listen, I want Tony Khan to succeed. I want him to make crazy money because it's fun to see Adam Cole back. It's fun to see, you know, some up-and-coming wrestlers that I probably wouldn't have seen if WWE was the only game in town. you know, from the MJFs and the Guevaras and the Ricky Starks and hopefully Hobbs and others. Believe me, there's a lot of what I like in AEW, but let's also realize what we're dealing with here. And without those EVPs and the people behind the scenes, AEW's dead. AEW's dead. So now, based on this, I'm now going to start focusing on Mr. Tony Khan. Tony Khan appeared on Bill Simmons. Now, let's go a little backwards here. Let's talk about Nick Khan's interview with Bill Simmons and what Nick Khan had to say about Shad Khan, Tony Khan, and AEW. This is pretty funny.
I've never met the kid. Tony Khan seems like a nice kid to me. I don't know him.
Actually, you know what? Let me do another clip first. This is about AEW. Now, I did find this funny. Think about this. This interview that Bill Simmons did with Nick Khan was about 2 weeks ago. Today is January 21st. This was done around the first week in January. I hysterically laughed when I heard Bill Simmons actually say that AEW is having a better 2023 than they did 2022. It was not even 2 weeks into January. And he's saying they had a better 20. What the fuck are you talking about? We're only 2 weeks in January. Oh, they're having a better 2022. Listen, but this is great. Here you go. Check this out.
In the last couple of years, you had AEW. They come in as probably the most polished challenger you guys have had in 20 years. They kind of countered it a little bit. They grabbed some ECW pieces and some indie wrestling things and some All Japan and all this stuff. And it seemed like a real competitor. It seemed like they had, at least in the wrestling community of the nerds and the people who love the five-star matches, all that stuff, they kind of tapped into that. At what point did you feel like they were a threat?
Well, how do you think they're doing now?
Not as well.
Right. I think a couple things. I've never met the guy.
Although I think they're having a better 2023 than 22, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, fuck you smoking, man. I didn't like him calling fans nerds. I mean, you're just setting the tone like, hey, Nick, what do you think of Tony Khan? As I stroke you a little bit. Now, that's just, I think that was wrong, but all right. Now we get to Nick Khan talking about Tony Khan and Shad Khan. This is great.
I've never met the kid.
Oh,
Tony Khan seems like.
Before I share it, when I said Nick Khan has his Dixie Carter moment as well, I got to set this up. You'll appreciate it. You remember 2013, Dixie Carter did an interview. It was either Forbes or Sports Illustrated, and she claimed that Impact was cash flow positive for several years. And she got away with the remark, and I have brought it up at least 20 or 30 times over the last 10 years, talking about that. And gave you all a lesson on what cash flow positive is. As long as your bank account has a positive balance, you're cash flow positive. You could have millions of dollars in debt and have $10,000 in the bank, and you could call yourself cash flow positive. It was probably the dumbest thing that I ever heard Dixie Carter say, honestly. Other than, you know, the Don, Tony, Kevin Cash show, they're banned from doing interviews with anybody in Impact Wrestling. Yeah, we were one of only two shows that were banned. I don't know who the other show was, but that was the dumbest thing I ever heard Dixie Carter say and get away with cash flow positive. Listen to this closely. Nick Khan pretty much says the same about Tony Khan. Listen to the finances.
I've never met the kid. Tony Khan seems like a nice kid to me. I don't know him. I have met his dad, who randomly I sat next to at some like sports business luncheon that Stephanie and I went to a year and a half or so ago. I thought the dad was as impressive as could be. I think there was a piece on him in the New York Times a year or so prior to that. Self-made billionaire, I believe Pakistani immigrant. Could not be more impressed with him. I like the pivots. I'm not as big of an NFL fan as you are. I don't follow it the way you do. But I like the pivots he made. Make a mistake in hiring a certain coach a couple years ago. Get out of that mistake. Figure it out again. Yeah. So could not be more impressed with the dad. He made his money in the auto parts business, I believe. So he knows that inside out. I don't believe he's involved on the wrestling side of the business. I'm talking about storylines outside of financing it.
No, he's got just the pockets.
Yeah, he has the pockets, and that's awesome. And I'm sure his kid appreciates it. But I don't. I was never threatened by that. But I tend not to be threatened. I don't feel threatened by anyone on anything. It's just not how I do business.
Here's the thing. When you talk about AEW, anybody could run a business for a loss. And Nick Khan, when speaking with Bill Simmons, and he talks about Tony Khan, he says anybody could run a business at a loss. You know, and that's something that we talked about even last week. That remember when Tony Khan said that there were reports that AEW grossed $100 million in 2022? How much did they spend? I could say, hey, I made $20,000 on the shows. But if I spent $30,000, you know, did I actually make money? Anybody, when he said anybody could run a business, but are you running the business at a loss? And that's the thing, take note, that none of these elite media ever bring up. You never hear them saying that AEW is running at a profit, that AEW made more money than what they grossed last year. Because the fact is AEW poured out a lot more money. But I will say this. I've said it many times before. I'll say it again right now. AEW is not going anywhere. The only way AEW would have problems is if they lose TV and can't find a good replacement. That's the only way. And even with that, I think they would make a decent amount of money on streaming media. If AEW is forced to go streaming only or fight only, I think they would do fine. Not as good, obviously, as a $144 million TV deal. But the point is, you know, as long as they have TV, Tony Khan could lose $100 million a year. He grossed $100. He might have spent $200. He could lose $100 million. Think about this. Tony Khan could lose $100 million a year for 20 years, and that's only $2 billion. He is worth a lot more than that. So if you get money back through the Jaguars, you get money back through the other football league, the soccer league, you get money back on other ventures, his stats company, AEW could take a bath every single year. And he's making money on the other companies. It continues running. So AEW is not in any financial peril. And even if Shad Khan said, I'm not financing this anymore, Tony Khan will be able to still, you won't see a gigantic roster. You won't see the roster like you do now, but that company is fine. That company is not going anywhere anytime soon. You know, I try to keep it balanced. I talk on both sides, not both sides of my mouth, but I try to look at both. Now, check out Nick Khan's comments about competition and Cody Rhodes.
I don't care what anyone else is doing. I care what we're doing. And as long as we can have the best product on with the best talent and the best writers, I think we're going to be in good shape.
Competition is good too, I think. Yeah, especially for what you're doing.
It's what the country was built on.
Yeah.
Not to get too patriotic on this stuff, but it's why antitrust laws exist. It's why there's Pepsi to Coke or whatever the modern version of that reference is. Everyone should be able to give it a try. I do think this, anyone can run a business at a loss. That's easy.
Yeah.
As long as someone continues to finance it, you know, try running it.
Are you saying that's AEW?
I don't know. I don't know their books. You know, I haven't seen their books.
They have spent a lot of money.
Look, I know our books, which are public. You know, we're off highest grossing revenue in 2022, highest profitability in 2022. Other big factors on why Vince wants to explore a potential alternative now.
And you took Cody Rhodes from them.
How did you like that one?
I liked it until he got hurt.
Yeah.
That was a tough break, but he's coming back soon, I assume.
He's coming back.
Yeah.
Text with him often. He's feeling good.
Do you think he was going to become the guy last year in the company other than Roman?
It certainly felt he was heading in that direction. And now we'll see. You know, it's announced that he's returning at the Royal Rumble.
Right.
So obviously that's not a secret. We wanted it to be announced. We want people to know that. By the way, Royal Rumble coming up in a couple of weeks. our highest grossing Royal Rumble ever already, with still 2 weeks to go.
What's the location?
San Antonio, Texas.
So there you go. You know, you could understand why the elite media and some hardcore AEW fans and Vince McMahon haters do not like this guy. You know, this guy, and honestly, I think the more Nick Khan goes out there and does interviews, the quieter Tony Khan gets about Nick Khan. Because this guy, with all due respect, again, I want AEW to succeed. I think Tony Khan, as he gets older, he will mature more. But you can tell that Tony Khan, in front of the wrestlers, with the camera there, very relaxed and cut promos and say, you know, negative things to WWE. But when it comes to going on a serious sports show, a serious interview, and those topics are brought up, the guy melts like butter. And you could hear it in his voice. You could see how he goes into his comfort zone. Oh, you know, we got Rampage coming up. We got Dynamite. We just had a great show. So he gets, when minute he feels uncomfortable, he shifts. And he did that with Helwani. He's done that with other major sports shows. When people do want a legitimate answer, he will divert. He will say, I can't comment. Oh, what's up? That interview that I just showed you with Tony Khan, they asked him about CM Punk. Oh, it was a great performance. This and that. Well, when will he be back? Well, I can't comment on that. That's why you see some news outlets and some podcasters in the last day or two saying they believe CM Punk will be back. Because even Tony Khan is talking now like he did about MJF. I can't comment about it. Well, will CM Punk be back? I can't comment about it. Like, if he's no longer with the company, like, why not just put it out? They can't comment. But Rampage is coming up. So as soon as he gets uncomfortable that a real journalist is going to challenge him or want a legit answer, you know, when it's NFL stats, no problem. When it's the Jaguars, no problem. When it's soccer, no problem. When now it's something here in the pro wrestling world, problem. All right. So now let's shift. Nick Khan, talking about the return of Vince McMahon. Why Vince McMahon is back. Why Vince wants to sell now. The fake news that was Saudi Arabia. And as you hear the Saudi Arabia talk, remember everything that we talked about weeks ago. Why that was a lie all along. Michelle Barrios. And the other, was George Russell? I don't remember the other person's name. But anybody remember the other name that came back? He talks about why Vince brought them back. And I'm going to show you where everybody's clickbaiting, claiming that Nick Khan is justifying Vince McMahon's sexual indiscretions. There was some clickbait there, and I'm going to share it with you. And he talks about Stephanie. So let's first talk about Stephanie McMahon. I think it was George Wilson, I believe. Michelle Barrios, George Barrios, Michelle Wilson. That's it. All right, now we got it right. Michelle Wilson, George Barrios. There we go. All right, Nick Khan talking about Stephanie McMahon.
You still didn't properly explain to me why Stephanie left. I still don't get this part the second time.
I think she came back because her dad asked her to come back.
But she's good at this, though.
She's great at it. She's great at it. And by the way, the meetings that she went on that I participated in a lot, as you can imagine, when there's stories like that come out, you want to make sure that people see you and they know who to talk to and they know they can call you and that, hey, there's a face with the product and that there's somebody there to answer if there's a question.
Yeah.
So that was more about that. And at this moment in time, I think she felt her work was done for now. Nothing is permanent. Again, terrific executive, even better person. Life is long. Let's see.
Nothing is permanent. You remember when we were talking about those shares? Vince, if they don't sell that company and Vince is still majority shareholder and it's his time to go, Stephanie could end up having even more power than when Vince McMahon had. Stephanie came back because Vince asked her. And understand this, she was co-CEO, but she was also chairwoman of WWE. When Vince returned as chairman, chairwoman was no longer necessary. And that's why Stephanie stepped back also. We don't know all the details. There's obviously some issues, family rift. There's definite there. But, you know, we're not there to see the everyday, so we don't know all the aspects of it. All right, let's now talk about the we'll save the Saudi part. Actually, you know, we could talk about it. Saudi Arabia. Listen to what they say about Saudi Arabia. And a little bit of simple logic that if people would have used it, they would have known since day one the Saudi Arabia rumors were bullshit. Check this out.
There's a fake story last week.
Fake. 100% fake, 100% made up, saying that there was an imminent transaction or whatever was. Totally false.
They were going to sell basically privately correct to some Saudi money group, and that was going to be how this ended. It seemed... And then I checked the person who had the, and they had like 5,500 followers. Yeah, but then the way the world works this time in 2023, people just ran with it for the next 18 hours.
It was absurd. It was nuts. And by the way, that person subsequently took down that tweet.
Right.
Because again, when I'm saying 100% false, it was 100%
false. 100% false. 100% false. Now listen to the logic. Listen to this closely. This is about why, in all my years doing this, why I always talk about the corporate side of WWE. You have to understand that. If you don't understand that, you'll never get things right, especially when it comes to business decisions. Check this out.
There are so many rules in place when you're whether if a public traded company is involved, either selling or buying, there's so many rules in place that it would never come out that way. Like it did last week with this thing that just pops out. Like, and plus the sale process, if you're going to do this correctly, which I would assume you are, it's months and months, and you're going to want multiple bidders, and you're going to play people against each other, and it would just be like, oh, somebody made us an offer, we're done.
Simple as that. That simple common sense was not used by anybody. That's what's crazy about it. All right, now, I want to share with you the clickbait. I know we're doing this out of place, but I think it's to address certain things. There was a phrase that was floating around, and I'm going to pull it up now from my synopsis for today's show. But there was a phrase floating around that a lot of websites ran with to accuse Nick Khan of justifying and downplaying Vince McMahon's sexual indiscretions. What that phrase was, modern day rules should apply to modern day. That is the phrase that people claim Nick Khan was using to justify Vince McMahon back despite the sexual indiscretions. My friends, that's 100% false. It was taken out of a different conversation. And that conversation had to do with Michelle Wilson and George Barrios.
Like, there was some pretty dramatic board shakeup stuff. He brought back Michelle and George, who he fired a few years ago. A couple people left the board. Why did people leave the board, and why did he feel like he had to do that? Explain the business piece of that to me.
They know the company. And they're insiders, and there's a shorthand with them. So I think as he engages in this, you know, potential transaction, to have folks there.
Potential transaction. The fake news in the podcast told you that transaction was Rita Marie Chatterton. The transaction that they were talking about was the media rights, possible M&A, and the sale. There's your clickbait. Listen a little bit further.
That know the company, that know, hey, maybe certain things that happened in the past shouldn't have happened, or in a modern day point of reference culture, which I always try to look at these things from, Bill, that, hey, certain things that were acceptable years ago aren't acceptable now. I think over time you can evolve with these things, and the modern day rules should apply to modern day. I don't think it should apply to the past.
They're talking about media rights, the sale, the way things operate, you know, WWE, how they have changed over the years, evolved, and things that might have been, you know, good back then aren't good now. This had nothing to do about Vince McMahon's sexual indiscretions, but yet people heard that clip without tuning into the whole interview and interpreted that transaction as Rita Marie. Now, would you like to know what Nick Khan said about Rita Marie? Well, here you go.
And it looks like we should mention the Rita Chatterton possible lawsuit, or it is a lawsuit, or Vince has to deal with that. Do you feel like suitors are going to wait to see how that plays out and how bad that's going to be? And is there going to be more details like that coming out, or are they just plowing ahead?
I think everyone's just plowing ahead. You just move forward, right? Because in all of these businesses, there's never a clean, clear path.
Yeah.
There's always some encumbrance, something in the way, some hurdle in the way that you have to get around or get through. So I see that like I would any other item like it.
Simple. Simple. And keep in mind that when this was recorded week and a half ago, Vince had already cleared everything with Rita Marie, settled. The board of directors voted Vince back in. It just was not made public yet that they settled. So when Nick Khan talks about, you know, full steam ahead, you know, they knew that this situation was already resolved. He just obviously couldn't talk about it. But again, that's why you cannot trust a lot of these websites. They hear a clip, they think, oh, the transaction's Rita Marie, and then they accuse Nick Khan of saying what he's saying. Just take note of how many people that actually did that the last couple of days and understand they learned nothing about the Mercedes Moné AEW stuff. They learned nothing about the Saudi Arabia buying WWE stuff. They don't want to know. They just want reasons to get you to click onto this shit. We go a little further. We talked about Stephanie. We talked about the return of Michelle Wilson and George Barrios. We talked about Rita Marie. Now we talk about Vince McMahon. The one thing that I think a lot of you are most concerned about with Vince McMahon is getting involved with creative. I'll share with you first Nick Khan's comments if Vince is involved with WWE creative.
One thing he's always said, and you know this as a longtime fan, I'm a longtime fan also, he'll do whatever's best for business. And I think at that moment, whether it's bringing the Ultimate Warrior back 20 plus years ago or whatever that might be, I think at that moment in time, he saw what's best for business was for him to step away for a while. So he did. And he really did step away. So there was no, hey, why are you doing this? Or I wouldn't do it that way. It was, in my opinion, total freedom to Stephanie, myself, and to Triple H on the creative side. It's only been a week, but he really... I believe what he said publicly about, hey, I'm here to engage in strategic alternatives and the media rights. So far, the engagement has been that and other board issues. There's
not the behind the scenes wrestling stuff.
Zero.
Sports entertainment, any of that.
Zero. None.
But the comeback with other places is, oh, he's just lying to you. And look, I'll be the first to say it. I think if John Cena ends up taking on Austin Theory at Mania, I think a couple other things. I think Vince's hand could be involved with all of that. He's got 83% vote, you know, capabilities, voting power. He's majority owner of the company. You know, you kind of expect him to be able to have some input. But overall, you know, Triple H is at the helm. Triple H is assuring the wrestlers. Triple H is not going to lie to the wrestlers. But, you know, Vince wanting, thinking, listen, let's be honest about something with Vince. Yes, he has come up with some ridiculously out of touch, horrible things in the last bunch of years. The Bearcat Keith Lee stuff, the helmet they put over Cross's head for two simple little examples. But at the same time, though, understand Roman Reigns' character, the bloodline and everything like that, that didn't start 6 months ago. You know, a lot of this started a couple of years ago. So for every, you know, good idea Vince has, he may have three bad ones, but he does have some good ones as well. So, you know, if Vince is going to give input, you know, let's hope that some of his input is a good one. Now, you know, remember this too. Remember this too. You know, when WrestleMania first came around, you know, the reason why Vince McMahon ended up successful is because Vince tried to cater to not only wrestling fans, but fans of entertainment, fans of sports, you know, somewhere in the middle, and he tried to expand his audience. Pure wrestling fans hated it. But those who, you know, liked, you know, the rock and wrestling connection at the time, liked the, you know, entertainers showing up, having a little bit of pomp and circumstance, it made pro wrestling more appealing to a broader audience. And a lot of Vince's decisions are designed to appeal to a broader audience. That is why pure wrestling fans usually object to a lot of what Vince does, or they may object Logan Paul, you know, getting a title shot against Roman Reigns. They may object this. They may object that. You know, why is Bad Bunny appearing at Mania? You know, sometimes some ideas actually do end up being good ones. But when you hear that, you know, Vince's mindset is, what's best for business? What could maximize our revenue? What could get the most eyes on our product? And, you know, a lot of the negative brushback online, away from the sexual indiscretions, is usually from those pure wrestling fans that don't want that, you know, entertainment, the ones who need, you know, to talk about the ratings of matches. You know, that's the thing. That's why if you notice with AEW, and look, I'm not justifying him. I'm trying to understand. But you look at AEW, something I don't know if you've noticed by now, and then we'll get into the final parts with Vince, why he left, why he came back, and why he's selling. Those are the three, and then we'll touch briefly about SmackDown and Rampage, little Royal Rumble, get out of here. Do you notice something about AEW? AEW, especially with social media, either fans feel it is epic, amazing, unbelievable. I have goosebumps. I have chills. That went hard on me. This went hard. That went hard. Everything goes hard. You know, either it's over the top love or over the top hate. It is very, 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 very small group of people that like, hey, you know, can't we like WWE? And most people that do that on Twitter are just doing it for hits. Just doing it for hits. Because if they were truly doing it because they do love everything, they would just talk about the products. When you got to go out of your way and say, hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with liking both. Okay, you have every right to write that. But let me see how you just talk about how you like AEW or how you like the WWE thing or you like this on TV. That show it by your examples. You know, show it by talking about these, not the emotional PSAs that hits at the strings. So what you see right now is either people just absolutely adore AEW or absolutely hate AEW. And the problem with AEW is they can't get that middle ground that WWE seems to get, that middle ground where, you know, you get someone to casually will go, or maybe use a little bit of sports entertainment aspect of it. And I know, look, they do sports entertainment. Obviously, the Jericho Appreciation Society is all about that storyline. But overall, that is not the core foundation mentality of AEW. It is the mentality is anti-WWE, alternative for WWE. Well, guess what? There are a lot of aspects of WWE that is great. So why be the alternative? Why be the anti? You know, I ate Burger King 2 days ago. For real. I rarely ever eat Burger King. For every every 9 times I eat McDonald's, I'll eat Burger King once. But I don't look as Burger King as the anti-McDonald's. I look at it as a different option. And I think in order for AEW to grow, they have to focus on that middle ground that is just not appealing. You either love it or you absolutely hate it. And that's why when a rating comes out, you either see people trying to justify every fucking little aspect of it if the rating is not as good as what it should be, or they'll make it seem like it's the greatest rating ever, or you have the people on the opposite side that are saying doom and gloom, oh, they can't even break a million. That's AEW's number one problem. All right, let's talk about Vince. Why did Vince step down?
So let's unwind this. Vince McMahon steps down a year ago. All these revelations about different NDAs from years ago goes in the Wall Street Journal. He steps down, and it seems like he's gone. Then he goes on SmackDown. And just watching him from afar, the whole thing seemed insane. It was like, is this guy stepping down or not? Why is he on a show? Is he still around? People are wondering if it's a work. And now you have 10 months later, it really is starting to feel like the real life version of HBO's Succession, where Vince is now, he did what seemed to be from afar, like a board coup d'etat. Stephanie stepped down. There were rumors you're going to sell to Saudi Arabia, which I never believed. But from we're watching this so far, this seems insane. What is it like to be in the middle of this? Does it seem less insane? What are the misnomers? Like, what, like, how real is all of this?
So I, from the inside, it's not that insane to me. But it's also, you know, again, the word insider, when you're on the inside, you sort of see things that might be coming and know what might be coming. You know, my thought has always been there's only one boss at WWE and it ain't me. Vince is obviously the founder, creator of the company. He's also the controlling shareholder, which, as you know, that's not a work term.
Right.
That's a legal term of art. So I think it was always my point of view, always Stephanie's point of view. At some point, he would come back. I think the way that he played it, to me, was smart, Bill, in that he went away for 5-6 months, which people, meaning the audience, seems to like when somebody does that. And he came back and took control back of his company as a control shareholder. So it is the public's company as a publicly traded company. But with that controlling share, gave him a lot of authority and he used it. And I applaud him for doing so.
So, I mean, the behavior, especially some of the stuff in the NDA, some people would say, many people would say he shouldn't come back. That should be it. He should leave. When he owns the company, it's basically up to him. Like, you can have as much public pressure as you want, but it's his company. The reason that he wouldn't come back is if he felt like it would be hurting the value of the company, the prestige of the company, people's perception of whether they even want to be a fan of the company anymore. So
I just paused it for a second. As you hear what they're saying in Nick Khan's response, think about what you've seen online from a lot of people within wrestling, that Vince coming back spells doom and gloom for the company and it's a disaster. Yet the stock went up, increasing WWE's value by the billions when he announced his return. So it's a tale of two WWEs when you think about it. Check out his response.
So why did he come back? Because it does seem like it hurts the company.
Well, so here's what I'd say. You and I had a conversation. I don't remember the exact time frame, but whenever the Ray Rice stuff happened in the NFL 8-10 years ago, whatever that was, and there were conversations at that point, not your point of view, not my point of view, that, oh, is Roger Goodell going to resign? If you remember, he had a lot of heat on.
Yeah.
And I think you and I both concluded to each other, well, no advertiser has fled. Ratings aren't down. The product seems to continue to build. Why would he resign? Why would he do that? So I think that's more, keep in mind, I've lived in Los Angeles. I think, how long have you been in LA now, Bill?
20 years.
So I've been here since 2000, so 22, 23 years. Sometimes I think it's just a 3-mile radius of LA thing, the, hey, step down and,
yeah,
you know, you have to sort of be punished for it. It didn't used to be that way. So I think for somebody like Vince, and by the way, you and he are two different people, but you're both founder CEOs. And I think founder CEOs, different than regular CEOs. So consider me for this moment in time, a regular CEO. There's something about the founder CEO that sees the vision, sort of sees the future, can get there a moment in time before others can, and then everyone else catches up. So even, and again, these were whatever your private frustrations may have been at prior employers while you were trying to build something great, which Grantland was great and The Ringer is great. I think it's the same thing for Vince as a founder CEO. It's his company. So to me, WWE is Vince. Vince is WWE. And, you know, we're going to do the best we can to keep building the company.
Can you walk me back?
Okay. So we don't have to play any more of that. So it gives you an idea. I mean, I think a lot of that was pretty much common sense. Now, was Nick Khan surprised and Vince McMahon's return.
Were you surprised that he stepped down?
I was surprised in the moment. But once I thought about it for a couple of days, it made total sense to me. I wouldn't say it caught me off guard because, again, we were on the inside sort of feeling a bit of the pressure that was going on. So it certainly seemed, again, the right thing at the right time. Definitely surprised in the moment. After I digested it, it made total sense.
Were you surprised that he's started to inch his way back?
No, no. That's Vince.
Yeah.
Anyone who knows him who thought with a tweet, because I think he tweeted, you know, hey, I'm 77 now, time for me to call it a day or something to that effect, you know, when he stepped down. Anyone who believed that was permanent doesn't know him. That was never going to happen. But I'm appreciative of the fact that he gave it the 5-6 months, let the dust settle a little bit, and then coming back in the way that he's come back.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to name anybody in particular. I'll name two because I respect both of them. Jim Cornette's podcast, Brandon Thurston. They both stuck on that comment and kind of said that that could be something, a big problem down the line, because Vince, it's a publicly traded company, and Vince McMahon publicly told everybody that he was retiring, and it could have influenced the stock market, but meanwhile, he had no intentions on retiring, and you know that could be a legal issue down the line. I will tell you why it's not a legal issue, and this is just my opinion, but again, you know, I know Brandon Thurston focuses on the economic side, but I follow the legal side as well and been doing it for 26 years. The reason why it's not a legal issue is because Vince McMahon did not tell the board of directors or his daughter or Nick Khan or Triple H, I'm tweeting that I'm retiring, but I will be back soon. I don't know when, but I'll be back soon. If they had prior knowledge that he was going to return, that's a different story. But there is nothing to say that. If that were the case, a couple of the members of the board of directors probably would have resigned back then, or they would have leaked it to the Wall Street Journal that he has no intentions on resigning. This is just a rouge because of the pressure of what's going on with the allegations. If Nick Khan, in the back of his mind, thought, oh, he's returning. Yeah, Vince, I know you're returning. You know, you can have that feeling. You could be convinced that he's coming back, but that doesn't mean that he was coming back. There's a big difference between telling people and thinking it, feeling it, perception. There is no legal issues here. And this is why wrestling sites, with all due respect, this is why wrestling sites think that they have the scoop every time. They think that something major is going to go down, and it doesn't. That's why I always say, if you're unsure about something as serious as this, go check the major news sites first. When you hear about them stranded in Saudi Arabia and wrestling news sites are trying to claim that they're being held against their will, go see. Is CNBC, CNN, NBC, Fox News, whatever, are they reporting that a whole bunch of Americans are being held against their will and Saudi Arabia won't let them? Nobody did that. When you hear about the sale and you immediately go to the business side of the world and say, is anybody in the know, in the financial world, are they telling investors, you know, look, you know, apparently the sale is a done deal, or it's close to a done deal. You know, do what you want when you stop. Imagine if the business world reported that WWE sold the company or the sale was done to a Saudi Arabian investment firm. And I brought this up 2 weeks ago. And somebody who has 10,000 shares in WWE stock says, fucking sell it now, sell it now, sell it now. And they sell it at whatever it is, $75 a share. And then you find out it's fake news and the stock is $90 a share. You think you could turn around and say, hey, give me my stock back. It was fake news. No, there's no return. There's no A to Z guarantee like Amazon. You fucking sell it and then you find out you were given fake news. You could sue the shit out of people who gave you those fake news. That's why I'm telling you. That's why That is the only reason why this Steve Schmuck, whatever his name is, Mulhausen, whoever that douchebag was that made those fake stories. Oh, props to him for getting the attention he did. But the only reason he escapes from lawsuits or a serious legal issue is because the stock market was not influenced by his dumb remarks. The wrestling world was, entertainment world was, people that were just desperate for hits and views were, but the business financial world never put any credence into it. And if it would have influenced the stock, if the stock would have tanked or the stock would have, that's why, like I said, when Vince got blown up in the limousine, that's why they immediately, that was a learning experience for WWE. WWE was still early in their days of the stock, didn't realize how much Vince McMahon affects that stock. And when he blew up in the limo and some people thought he legitimately died, the stock started getting rumblings of it and some people thought it was real. And then you got to worry, oh, fuck, people might start selling their shares thinking that Vince died in a car explosion. They had to immediately send a press release out there. No, it's a storyline. You know, because they were forced to, because it could affect. This is criminal stuff, everyone. If you manipulate the stock market in any way, hey, I'm retiring, wink, wink, investors might say, you know, I'm going to sell the stock. I don't believe that Triple H and Nick Khan and Stephanie can do what Vince did. And they sell early. Why do you think like some of these bullshit lawsuits are coming out there right now? Think about this logic. And then we'll share the last two clips. We're done with this. Think of this logic. You know about some of the lawsuits going on right now, and I told you that WWE sued every year with stock, and it's just, it's a nothing burger. Think about this. Why would some bullshit minor owner of WWE stock, why would they sue WWE when they just made thousands and thousands of dollars in profit? Before Vince came back, the stock was, what, $62 a share? When Vince came back, the stock went up to $90 a share. That stockholder just made 29% profit on his stock. Why would you sue? Oh, you don't want him in there? Okay, the stock goes back down to $60. You just lost thousands. Why would you do that? Because they just want to... They don't like Vince McMahon, and they want to try to make some money off of it. Why would you do that? You're an investor. You're worried about the bottom line, not a personal feeling about someone. And that's why Nick Khan comes off as cold in these interviews, because Nick Khan sounds like the uber supporter of Vince McMahon. Welcome to the millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires world that you and I will never be able to fully understand. All right, let's talk about why Vince McMahon is selling. I think this is probably the most important clip, and it's the last one for today's show.
Why sell now out of all times?
I think he's ready. I can't describe it as anything more than that after the last 5 months. And keep in mind, again, you engaged in empire building. You're still engaged in empire building. At a certain point, it's like, okay, how much more of this empire am I going to build? We continue to build it. He continued to build it until he stepped down 5 months or so ago. But I think in looking at a world of consolidation, the sort of, you know, standalone enterprise that owns 99% of its intellectual property.
Yeah.
With the media rights.
And a library. And media
and
rights.
A library, right? With the media rights coming up in October of 24, which means the process starts in a few months on that. Certainly to go lock in a bunch of long-term deals and then to sell or try to sell to everybody doesn't make sense. The timing was now. So even if you look at our annual shareholders.
So you're saying you want to sell... You sell the company and then you do the deals. The new person that comes in, that would be their first order of the business, would be to bang out the new 2024 media right deals.
That's the goal, unless one of the media conglomerates ends up buying it directly.
Right.
Then they certainly wouldn't want it encumbered by long-term media rights deals elsewhere.
Remember when I said you don't make a TV deal at Disney and then sell to Comcast? Remember we were talking about that, or vice versa. So that's basically why he's selling. This is the moment where WWE may peak. And take note of little things that he said. WWE owns 99% of their intellectual property. You know, when you get mad when certain wrestlers have to change their names and this and that, WWE takes time to own their intellectual property. That's something that AEW does not get involved in. I mean, especially on that aspect of it. How in your right mind would you expect AEW to buy WWE when even their own business operations, they don't trademark and they don't, you know what I mean? Like, they don't, you know, worry about the intellectual property, which are their wrestlers. It's just that they give their wrestlers all the freedom to do outside things. And, you know, as long as it doesn't interfere with AEW's work. And that is very appealing for some people, especially those who Twitch, those who are on YouTube, those who game, those who, you know, are having OnlyFans or something. There's a lot of reasons why you have outside ventures. And that is very appealing for some. All right. So let's move on to a few other things. Briefly, SmackDown yesterday. Yesterday was mostly about three things. The SmackDown Tag Team Title Tournament, the progression in the fallout between Sami Zayn and the Bloodline, and Bray Wyatt and LA Knight, in my opinion. Yesterday, with regards to Bray Wyatt, we had the return of the Firefly Funhouse. Yes, they are taking the moth, and they are actually putting it with comedy. Bray Wyatt bending down almost like a plumber in your house, showing an ass crack. As I said yesterday, thank God Bray did not have his Firefly open, but this is what we had yesterday. The Firefly Funhouse returns with the characters. Me, I'm a huge fan of the Firefly Funhouse. I have so much memorabilia that I still haven't given away with the Bray Wyatt stuff. And, you know, it's back. A lot of people are kind of shocked. What a far cry from the White Rabbit. What a far cry from some of the other things. Again, this is the six shades of Bray that I talked about months ago. The six shades of Bray. The Fiend, the, you know, Wyatt family, Firefly Funhouse, the way he is now, Uncle Howdy, Uncle Harper. Six shades of Bray. That's the reason why you saw the Firefly Funhouse. I'm telling you, as time goes by, more and more of you are saying, DT, you were right all along. This is another shade of Bray. Now, yesterday, LA Knight beat someone by the name of Greg Jones in a matter of a minute or two. Then we get the Firefly Funhouse segment, and this is just hyping up more of the pitch black match at the Royal Rumble. A lot of people are kind of mixed on how they feel about the Firefly Funhouse back. I like it because I expected to see all different aspects of Bray Wyatt's character all along, but some people feel like, you know, this is just dragging out. Where is this going? They don't even know where to go with this. Oh, they have a good idea. They have a good idea. I think once the Uncle Howdy reveal is done, or we progress into Uncle Harper, if that still happens, I think we'll get more information on that. Yesterday also, we had the preliminary first-round matches in a tag team title tournament. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus over the Viking Raiders. Hit Row over Los Lotharios. The Brawling Brutes, they lose to Imperium. And Legado del Fantasma, they beat the Maximum Male Models. So all those teams advance, and this is your updated bracket. So we will have Drew and Sheamus versus Hit Row. We will have Imperium versus Legado del Fantasma. I think it's going to come down to Drew and Sheamus versus Imperium. And, you know, they are now T-Nasty, I'm not skipping Bo Dallas in the background backstage when LA Knight was going to the ring. We talked about Bo Dallas already. Bo Dallas is backstage as an agent. We've talked about that. You know, they're just trying to look. It's the same reason why, you know, Nikki Cross is backstage also. It's just to try to get a buzz from everybody. You know, right now it's just to tease and give in people's heads talking, try to divert what's going on. But So this is your semifinals for the Tag Team Contenders Tournament. You almost feel, since we just had a tournament not too long ago, it almost feels like maybe the Usos are going to lose the tag titles this time. Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go into WrestleMania with only one set of the titles. You know, I think the Usos having Universal Unified Tag titles going into Mania, I think they want Roman to be the only one with Unified titles at Mania. I think that's what they want to do. So the question now is, which tag team division is more likely to dethrone the Usos first, SmackDown or Raw? And I tend to think SmackDown is the one. I feel like SmackDown with the title change, maybe it happens at Elimination Chamber, maybe it doesn't even happen on free TV. But I think you almost feel like you got to give it to Drew and Sheamus. It is interesting to see the Brawling Brutes, their own team, and Sheamus, you know, teaming with Drew. But I like the team. People are into it. Fans have bought into it. So give me more. So that pretty much was your matches yesterday for SmackDown. Now, we are at the final stages for Lacey Evans' return. It is Operation Cobra Clutch. A lot of people still think that Sergeant Slaughter will be her manager. Maybe be in a corner for a little while. I'm fine with it. Let's see where it goes. I'm cool with it. You know, obviously her comments recently about autism was foolish, ignorant, dumb. But, you know, she is an entertainer and they're going to still try to push a character. And listen, we live in a country where you do have the right to say dumb shit sometimes, you know. She's going to have a hard time. She's going to have a hard time. You know, especially now with Charlotte Flair being a baby face as well. Like, I what are they going to do? Have her and Charlotte team up? I don't know. But I will say this. Lacey Evans does not have any momentum right now. I will continue what I've been saying for a while. Lacey Evans will probably make a return at the Royal Rumble. Only makes sense. Let's see if she comes out with Sergeant Slaughter. It almost seems like it makes sense. And listen, I personally think Lacey Evans may have to have a very long run in the Royal Rumble. Some of her, you know what? You think about the training. I think Lacey Evans may have either the longest amount of time in the Rumble or one of the longest. And I think these training videos, I think they'll probably reference it and say, that's her work in boot camp and this and that. And that helped her with you. I think Lacey Evans, I will be shocked if she has a short run in the Rumble. I would not be surprised if she has a very long run. That is her repentance. That probably will be her repentance. She's going to have to work 30 minutes, 40 minutes in the Royal Rumble. So we will see what happens with that. And as we were talking about earlier, you know, Sami Zayn, you know, Roman Reigns, you know, let me say this, to be honest with you. I don't like where this is going. We know where it's going, but I don't like it, and I'll tell you why. I think there's going to be a little swerve. I think Sami Zayn is going to get physically involved at the Royal Rumble against Kevin Owens. But what we're supposed to believe now is Roman Reigns is mad at Sami Zayn. He saw the look on Sami Zayn's face last week when Sami was not happy with the Usos and Solo Sikoa interfering and this and that. And, you know, we're supposed to, you know, like Sami was more concerned about the win and, you know, taking care of business himself rather than the whole bloodline destroying Roman Kevin Owens. So Roman, you know, basically he's not happy with Sami Zayn. And I don't know, it just feels inauthentic. Like, after all of this, you know, I don't know. But, you know, later on, Roman Reigns having a conversation with Paul Heyman and basically, you know, Paul Heyman saying, I don't like Sami Zayn. I never liked Sami Zayn. But he gives advice to Roman Reigns, something like, I'd rather have Sami Zayn pissing in the castle than pissing outside the castle. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, keep your friends close, but your enemies right by your side. So basically what they're saying is it's better to have Sami Zayn with the bloodline than against the bloodline. That's pretty much where this goes. So by the end of the night, you know, Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns, a little bit of, you know, clearing of the air. Sami wants that fist bump so bad, gets a little one at the end. But then we have the contract signing, Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. Roman's in the ring, and Roman is basically, you know, uninspired. Kevin Owens coming out, but Kevin Owens' music doesn't hit. Kevin Owens does not come down the rampway. Instead, Kevin Owens enters from the side of the ring behind Roman Reigns. Roman turns around, eats a stunner, and next thing you know, Kevin Owens taking care of business with the Usos, Solo Sikoa. He gets out of Dodge, throws the contract, signs a contract, throws it at Sami Zayn, and then he gets out of Dodge, and everybody's tending to Roman Reigns except for Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn just standing there looking like a deer in headlights with the contract in his hand. So that's pretty much where we're going with that. Next week, we may get Charlotte Flair versus Sonya Deville. I don't know if that's going to actually be at the Royal Rumble. To me, it doesn't make sense if that were to go down. There are two very, very long matches that are going to go down at the Rumble, which are the Rumble matches. That's going to eat up at least 2 hours at a time. And we do have a few other matches as well. But they are leading to Charlotte versus Sonya Deville. Again, I don't know if it's going to happen at SmackDown next week, because they already announced 4 matches next week for SmackDown. And usually with SmackDown, 4 to 5 is their cutoff. They've had a few SmackDown. Did you notice this week? No women's match on SmackDown. I don't know if you noticed that. No women's match on SmackDown. But next week, you got Rey Mysterio versus Karrion Kross. Kross cutting an awesome promo on Rey yesterday. Probably my favorite promo that he's cut so far in the main roster. We will have Drew and Sheamus versus Hit Row. We will have Legado versus Imperium. And they just announced Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa. And you know what? This fist bump, if you look at Paul Heyman's face, it says it all. But what was interesting also is when Roman Reigns refused to give the fist pump to Sami Zayn early in the night when they showed up in their SUVs, Solo Sikoa just walked by and didn't give a fist bump, gave really no reaction to Sami Zayn at all. So I almost feel like the first person who may lay out Sami Zayn is Solo Sikoa. I think he may be the one to ultimately start the end of Sami Zayn in the bloodline. So they're keeping Ronda Rousey very, very quiet. She's going to be in a rumble. She should be in a rumble. You know, her recent run was not really good. Right now, the members of the Women's Rumble announces Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler, and Zelina Vega. On the men's side, you got Ricochet, Kofi, Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, Austin Theory, Gunther, Rey Mysterio, Omos, Cody Rhodes, Karrion Kross, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, and you know, a lot of names still to be announced. That's why I'm saying, why are people like really complaining about surprises? You know, there's a lot of names that still haven't been announced, and we are going to get some surprises. But, you know, they want fans to know that Cody is back. There was nothing wrong with them announcing that in advance. And I tell you what, especially under the recent circumstances, I mean, maybe he's physically just not ready to do something like that, but I think it would be a really nice gesture to see Kevin Nash in the Royal Rumble. I hope he's at Raw 30. I hope he's there. You know, again, you know, we had this little controversy. You know, last week, obviously, they didn't have all the names announced, but that was the banner for last week, and this is it for this week. And I will say this, you really can't see it all that well, but out of everybody, you know what surprises me? See, I can't zoom in. Yeah, my computer's not allowing me. IRS looks like he has gained a lot of weight. Maybe it's just a bad picture, but it looks like he gained a lot of weight. A lot of weight. So, hey, he's enjoying life. That's how I look at it. When you get to a certain age, he's healthy. You know, he's in, you know, big boy. All right, Rampage yesterday. Yeah, the match is very, very predictable. Anything Jade Cargill wrestles in is a win, obviously. Her and Layla Gray beat Jaina and Jordan Vanity. We had Jungle Jack Perry, Jungle Boy Jack Perry beat Ethan Page. It was interesting how Ethan Page got like the jobber intro. No theme music, no nothing. He's already in the ring. I didn't like that. Brian Cage over Willie Mack. No way Brian Cage was going to lose leading into his match, you know, this Wednesday on Dynamite. Eddie Kingston and Ortiz, a little bit more of a falling out. You know, I don't think fans are really, you know, they just feel like it's just matter of fact. Like, we don't know what to do with these guys, so we'll just have them feud against each other. And it keeps them out of title pitchers. Action Andretti beats Daniel Garcia, which was very, very predictable all along. Because when they did that little tease that, oh, if you beat Action Andretti, you can have my spot, Sammy Guevara said, on Dynamite for Wednesday. Nah, it wasn't going to happen. You know, I like Action Andretti, but they're putting him out there as if he's already an established star. And honestly, I had no interest in watching that main event yesterday. I mean, it was decent, and I praise Action Andretti. You know, if I was in his position, I would be on a cloud nine right now. But, you know, 6 months from now, I don't know where that goes. You know, it almost feels like it goes the Cole Carter route. Cole Carter, they tried to make him seem like this next big stage. You forget the backstage segment where they were treating Cole Carter like he's going to be this next big star on the TV. And then they did some awful Sting reveal with him. And after that, nothing. Nothing. Action Andretti, they should have just, they should have just quietly start getting some momentum. I think they thrust him in too deep of a pitcher. Even though Jericho is very high on the guy, which is awesome, and Jericho did the favors for him, which is excellent, but that still does not replace experience. A win and a win against somebody unexpected. James Ellsworth fucking beat. Didn't he beat AJ Styles? Yeah, like, still, did anybody think James Ellsworth was suddenly on a momentum in WWE? It just felt like, why? Action Andretti is obviously much, much different than James Ellsworth. But, you know, somebody who is that inexperienced, you know, getting thrown into the fire like that, not everybody reacts to it. And, again, you have that crowd that either was epic, amazing, unbelievable, or it was awful. You don't have as much of a middle ground. I think AEW's got to focus on that middle ground. So, all right. So, with that said, I want to get out of here. So I want to just give two very quick shout outs. Again, thank you very much, Sticky Fingers Frank, for the five spot earlier, and Kevon Lewis with the two spot. Do I think Tony Khan will put the Ring of Honor belt on Mark Briscoe? I think you give him an honorary tag team championships. You know, I mean, I know they've been tag team champions, but I'm saying, like, I think you give them a special set of belts that they retire, and I'm not saying to come out with a new design, but maybe you come out with a new design. They could do a storyline where Mark Briscoe challenges for the title, but again, it reminds me when Chavo beat Triple H. You remember when Eddie passed away, and Chavo was doing the Kerwin White character, and they had, if it wasn't the main event, instead of being Kerwin White, he wrestled as Chavo Guerrero Jr. and he beat Triple H. It was great and it was emotional, but you kind of felt like, okay, they gave the win to Chavo because Eddie passed away. You know, it was a tribute match and it was a beautiful match. But at the end of the day, you know, it was more of just, you know, like a gesture and a happy way to close out that night. I don't think you create a storyline with Mark Briscoe going for the championship. If they think he can carry it, sure. I will say this, especially that Ring of Honor right now is not doing weekly TV. Especially that Ring of Honor is not touring other than pay-per-views. If you're going to put the belt on Mark Briscoe, might be a good time to do it now where there's not as much pressure. But honestly, Mark Briscoe's in mourning. Mark Briscoe just lost his brother. Mark Briscoe, you know, take as much time. He may not want to return to the ring anytime soon. he may want to return as a tribute to his brother. He may feel that he's got to return to that ring. You know, you don't know. You don't know. I'm not one you put a title on someone just to put it on someone. I think Mark Briscoe, if he really could be heavyweight champion, like, you don't want to be heavyweight champion because his brother died. You know what I mean? I personally, if I was to do anything and Tony Khan, you know, has the means to do it, I would retire those current Ring of Honor championships with that design, give it to Mark Briscoe, give it to the, you know, Briscoe family, the Pugh family, and you come out with a new design for Ring of Honor tag titles. That's what I would do. So, Jason Lynn, shout out to you. Still trivia champ till he's dethroned. Yes. Yes, you are. You are. When I used to do all the Jackbox games with, you know, friends, former co-hosts and others, every time we played trivia games, this guy kicked our asses. I was convinced this guy, Jason Lynn, was cheating. I was convinced he had some hidden book that had all the answers for all the Jackbox games. I Googled it. I'm like, there's got to be a cheap book somewhere out there, and there wasn't. Very, very intelligent man, this Jason Lynn. Very, very intelligent man. All right. Before we exit, I want to give a shout-out to Keith Daugherty with a 10-spot. Nice run-in. Shout-out to yours truly and the watch party. He knows I just want to go and spend my Saturday with the missus. You want to know the honest truth? I have Amazon grocery delivery coming now. I set it to come between 1 and 3 p.m., and right now it's 1:12. And there ain't no way that my wife is going to be carrying in cases of water and heavy groceries. I don't want her to do that. So I got to, like, get dressed and get prepared because Amazon's going to be knocking on my door any second. And I can't, like, stay here and say, oh, I got to go. Amazon's outside. Because honestly, right now, no joke, I only have underwears on. I have boxer shorts on. So I have to throw on jeans. I got to clean up a little bit. So that's why I want to get out of here, too. So we got some groceries coming. Tomorrow on the sit-down, I actually going to show you my jury duty notice that I was supposed to go to jury duty Monday. I ain't going. I already told them, and I can't reschedule either. So I'm like, look, you got to find me. But I'll show you the jury duty notice tomorrow. Also, I can now tell you tomorrow the fight, the verbal fight I got in with a relative, a brother of a former WWE 24/7 champion. Now, since my father got his money back, he got the refund. Now, I don't give a flying fuck about this guy. Tomorrow, I will share with you the story, and I do have audio proof of it. I will share you the story of a verbal spat that I got in on the phone with the brother of a former WWE 24/7 champion. I'm very curious if any of you figure it out. In fact, maybe this will be a fun little thing in the comment section when we're done. And you know what? If you do it, not only would that be cool, but I would realize that you stuck around for the whole show for this. Post in the comment section, who do you think I'm talking about? What 24/7 champion am I talking about when I say I just got into a verbal fight on the phone with the brother of a former WWE 24/7 champion? This person was an asshole. And, you know, I got my dad's refund back. That's all that matters. But post it in the comment section. And if anybody gets it right, I will open up the show tomorrow and give you shout-outs right at the beginning of the show. Shout-out to blah, 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 blah. For getting it right. So post it in the comment section. The only hint I'm going to give you, it is the brother of a former WWE 24/7 champion. But Keith, shout out to you again. He says that she cracks the whip. It's going to get heavy in here, getting too heavy in here. May I hear a Triple H? Ah, yes, sir. Shout out to you. We're going to have a fun Raw 30th anniversary on Monday. I got my vintage Raw shirt ready to go. I will wear it on Monday. I got to figure out what's going to replace the Muppets back there. I just wanted to rip it. I don't know why I posted the Muppets in the first place, but shout out to AJ Moore. Shout out to Shaheen Nuclear Graphics. They still represent in the background some of the artwork. And yeah, some of that artwork is going to be rotated from time to time. I got some cool shit. I got some old school, you know, from the Midnight Express to the new Midnight Express. Yes. I got everything from Cactus Jack to, you know, whoever. I even got Eddie Kingston stuff. So every couple of days, you know, the funk one, you know, I might have to keep up more than others, but it's going to break my heart. The night they turn on Sami Zayn, I'm going to physically get up out of this chair. Won't do it now because I have boxer shorts on. You don't want to see my hairy legs. But I'm going to get up out of this chair, and I'm going to pull that off the wall. Question is, what do I put in its place? So, and I'm still trying to find room for this DMD. So, all right, everybody. I'm going to get out of here. I hope you have a fun weekend. Enjoy the rest of it. Again, I will let you know during the week what's going to go down as far as next Saturday. I probably will do a show Friday night next week. We'll do some Royal Rumble predictions. That's always fun. I mean, we'll try to predict who's going to be number one. They may advertise it. We may end up getting a match. Who's number one? Who's number two? We'll definitely get into the matches themselves. You know, we still got another SmackDown. You almost feel like the contract signing may should have gone down next Friday. The day before, you know, the Royal Rumble, that probably would have been a better way to go off. So they have something planned big next week. Kevin Owens taking on Solo Sikoa. We'll see where it goes. But enjoy the rest of your weekend. If you're going to be with me tomorrow night, I definitely look forward to seeing you. We will have the sit down at 8.05 p.m. And if you're busy tomorrow, then we got Monday. After Raw, 30th anniversary show, three big title matches, and the celebration of the bloodline. Let's see if that happens to Sami Zayn. What about me? What about me? I think it's going to happen. Be well, everybody. Much love. Where's my Godfather outro? There's my Godfather outro. Be well, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.